If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John? Let's begin reading with the first verse. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Then came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and one of them, the one you now have, is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." The label is how Jesus walked. Well, what would he have driven? Well, some tried to enlist Jesus in environmental issues, but to push to a downsized car to save fuel. That's what our president's trying to get these car dealers to do now. And now we're going to not have any car dealers for a while, or manufacturers. What a shame. Pray that God will intervene, dear friends, in our government, that God would have his way in America. Pray that they don't get that health thing through, because if it does, we are a socialist nation, and we shall rumble and fall. Our dollar won't be worth 50 cents, and you who are old won't be able to have doctors that let you die. Well, we don't really know what Jesus would drive, but we rode an unbroken donkey in Jerusalem, and I read in Luke 19, "Go into the village opposite you, in which as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here." You mean Jesus with a bronc buster? Well, what do you think? Bet your life. He'd never ridden that old burro, and that no one else had either. Friends, years ago, my daughter was teaching many of my grandchildren homeschooling them. And it was a recess one day, and I owned a Jerusalem burro. He weighed about 500 pounds. Sweetheart, I loved him. Anyway, we were out there playing around with the children. I said to my grandson, I said, bet you're afraid to get on that old burro. Oh, he said, I'm not either. So I led the burro over to him, and I boosted him up on the burro. And old Gilbert's ears went straight back against his head, which means he is not happy with the situation. But he didn't buck. And I led him all around the yard, and pretty soon I said, okay, hon, jump off. So he jumped off, and I let go of the reins. Did you know what Gilbert did? He went over and bit my grandson on the arm, as much as say, don't ever do that again. And he never did, of course. Oh, Gilbert, I had to put him down. I had a cancer, but boy, oh boy. Well, Jerusalem, this guy had never been, donkey never been ridden, but Jesus got on him. Well, but someday, beloved, my Bible tells me that Jesus will ride on a great white horse when he comes to set up his kingdom. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Well, friends, the Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, that's exactly what he did. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, we don't know but how he walked, but I'll tell you one thing, friends. They walked for miles and miles and miles in that old sand, and their feet got dirty, and they wore those tunics. I don't know how they did it, but I do know this. His walk was a carrying walk, and we read in John, let's see, where are we at? John, for the love of Pete. You mean I lost John? No, I didn't lose John. But anyway, I'll have to, here it is. John 1 through 6. Here, let's see what it says here. Okay, here we go. Excuse me here, but I'll find it. I'll find it here. Then, therefore, the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing him. He left Judea and departed unto Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Well, friends, listen. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from the journey, and sitting thus by the well, it's about the sixth hour. Now listen, you know and I know, but Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Listen, the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. This was not the usual route for a Jew to take, because the Jews had absolutely no dealings with the Samaritans. He went out of his way to meet a troubled woman. Oh, my friends, are you willing to step out of your way to meet someone that has a hurting or someone whose heart is broken? You know, one time, I got to tell you this story. I was working for a roofing company when I was going to Bible college. And one day he told me, he said, Cecil, I want you to go by this doctor's dentist house, and I want you to get an estimate for that doctor because he needs it tonight. Be sure now you do it today. I said, okay, I didn't want to do it because I wanted to get home, but I did. And I went and knocked on the door, and this young teenage boy come and opened the door. And I told him I had some buyer's roofing, and I was there to give him a roofing estimate on the roof. He said, go ahead. So I went up on the roof and measured it up, came down, knocked on the door, and I had this report made out, an estimate, and I gave it to the young boy. He said, no, sir. He said, I want you to come in and give it to my mother. Well, I said, that's not necessary. You can give it to her. No, I want you to come talk to my mother. And he was insistent. So I walked in the house, and in walked this lady out of this room, a beautiful lady, but oh, my stars, her eyes were all wet with tears. And so she invited me into the living room, and she said, I'm sorry to have you seem this way because I do have I've got some problem. I said, ma'am, you know what? I come by to sell you a roof, but looks to me like there's something more important than a roof. Could you like to tell?" I said, "I'm a preacher over at the school. Would you like to tell me your problems?" And she said, "Oh, please." And so she poured out her heart to me. Now, here's a woman that's in big trouble. Now, let me tell you the story. She had a husband, a very wealthy, very big-shot dentist, and he belonged to a key club. Now, you may not know what that is, but it means that people exchange keys, and they go with these other women, and they go, whosever key they got, they go with them. So she said, "He wants me to sleep with other men, and I won't do it." I said, "Bless your heart. God bless your heart." And she said, "I really shouldn't be crying," because she said, "I belong to a religion that tells me that tears are a weakness." I said, "Ma'am, you've got a problem, and we got to deal with it." Make a long story short, I got my little New Testament out, and it wasn't 20 minutes, and that dear lady was on her knees trusting the Lord Jesus. So and not only that, did I lead her to Christ, but I sold her a roof. I sold to her husband, but the thing was, here was a troubled person. Have you ever met someone that's troubled? Don't you feel you like to go and say, "Can I help you?" That's what Jesus would do. That's what he did here at the well. When people learn we care, they see we are different. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and in angels," and you know, he said, "if you don't have any love, I speak the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." One thing in prison that we do, the first thing I do when I go in there with the women or the men, whoever I'm preaching to, I say, "First of all, I'm here because I love you." And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, and they can see that I do love them. And they'll listen to you. Now, I don't look down on my nose at anybody because they're poor or ragged or alcoholics or people in Skid Row. I look at people because there are so many, oh, my stars, you don't know how many lost millions of people we come in contact with in a lifetime. And someday, my friend, you and I are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for our lives. We're going to give an account for the times that we could have talked to people, but we did not. Now, that's a fact. We didn't do it. Well, we can minister those who God places in our way. Now, listen, people. God places needy people in our ways when he knows we care. But if we don't care, he don't put them in our way. You understand that, don't you? Well, now, Jesus walked up in this well, and he was sitting there, and this gal came up, and he said, "Give me to drink." Well, that was a conversation opener that would lead to her salvation. Let me give you an example how I know this works. Many years ago, I was doing a TV program in Seattle, Washington, and the night before I left, I prayed, and I said, "Lord, put me next to somebody that I can witness to that needs Jesus." Now, listen. The next morning, I get on the plane. I sit on the aisle seat. There was an empty seat between me and this young lady, about 29 years old. Well, I want to open conversation with her, but you got to be careful, you know. And she might have thought I was a masher or something. So I had a newspaper with me, and I said, "Would you like a piece of my newspaper?" And she said, "Oh, thank you very much." And she took the newspaper, okay? And she was reading, and then, see, used to be years and years ago on United Airlines, you fly in the morning, you have a nice breakfast. And so they served us our breakfast. And just before I started to eat, I bowed my head and I asked the blessing on the food. Now, this is exactly what she did. She turned to me, said, word for word, "Are you one of them born-again Christians?" I said, "As a matter of fact, I am." She said, "My sister and my brother-in-law are born again." I said, "Well, we born-again people, we read out of the same book." I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about the book that we read out of. Well, it worked. Boy, I mean to tell you, after they took our plates away, I really went to work and started sharing Christ. Well, it's only a 2 hour and something flight from Denver to Seattle, but my stars, it seemed like it was just 10 minutes, and I heard the captain say, we're getting ready to make our landing in Seattle International Airport, and I thought, oh boy, I got to work fast, got to work fast. So I turned and I said, ma'am, you know the most dangerous part of flying? No, she said, I really don't. I said, well, I can tell it to you right quick. The most dangerous part of flying is landing and taking off. I said, let's suppose as we come into the airport, something happens or the front wheel crumbles under, or and I said, we crashed and boom, the thing exploded, we burned to death. Oh, she said, don't talk that way, don't talk that way. And did I did something that I still don't believe I did it, but I did. I reached over and I took her by the hand and I said, ma'am, would you like to know Jesus and have your sins forgiven right now? And she said, yes, I would. So I led her in a sinner's prayer. And when we landed and we went up to there into the place, she caught a plane to Alaska and I was going on to catch a car and go on to the TV station. She come over and she hugged me and she said, Mr. Moe, if I don't ever see you again, I'll see you in heaven. Oh, my friends, I don't know how many times that's happened in my life when I've introduced someone to Christ and told them goodbye, and they said, well, we'll meet you in heaven. Well, you can speak of something you and others have in common. You know, when you're out dealing with lost people, don't go out there and start slamming the Bible in their face and start jumping all over them. Find out what their likes are. Find out if they play golf or what. But find out some. Show an interest in them and then present the gospel. People aren't smart enough sometimes to do that, and they lose them. You get your fish. When that fish starts down the creek, you set the hook, and then you got him. Well, when you're dealing with lost people, it's about the same as fishing. It sure enough is. Bringing water into the conversation met her on common ground. She was there to draw water. That's what she'd come there for. But water was a means to tell her of living water. Now listen, friends, this living water is Jesus. And here, his disciples were puzzled. Why is Jesus not coming to town? Well, he was tired for one thing. But your memory said he must needs go through Samaria. That was in his mind all the time. He went there because he knew there was going to be a lost soul at that well, and he wanted to reach him for Christ. Now, reminding her of thirst enabled Jesus to help her see her need. I want to ask you, how long has it been since you told someone about Jesus? Or have you ever? Or have you ever? See, that's our job. Someone said, well, it's none of your business. Why, it's my business. I'm commanded to go into the highways and the byways and bring them in. And these churches that are not visiting and not telling people about Jesus ought to be out of business. That's our job, not just the preacher's job. It's every Christian's job, telling them how to be saved. His walk was a burden-bearing walk. Yes, it was. And then he said, go call your husband. See, Jesus reached her hurting place. She had thought herself to be too sinful for salvation. How do I know that's true? When I was a lost alcoholic, I did not know that God loved me and that Christ died for me. I did not believe that God could love anybody as wretched as me. This woman was living in sin, you betcha. And so I'm sure she said, oh boy, I'm too sinful for this. She would find he knew all about her and loved her still. You know what? In the while we were yet sinners, the Bible said Christ died for us. Now you say, Cecil, I'm a terrible sinner. I've been unfaithful to my husband. Or you might say I've been unfaithful to my wife. And that's bad. It sure is. Is it unforgivable? Absolutely not. Don't you remember when the woman was taken in adultery? And I think the guys that brought her up there was the guys that had the adultery with her. But anyway, Jesus said, he's without sin cast a first stone. Well, what do you suppose those guys did? They took off to the Tulies like a herd of turtles. They couldn't cast the first stone, nor can you, nor can I. Oh, but dear friends, he said, where are your accusers? He said, they're all gone. He said, go and sin no more. That's all he said, go and sin no more. The ground is level at the cross. All can come to the sinless Savior. Well, you know, he said, 26, he said, well, first of all, I want you to know you avoid all religious arguments. That's right, all religious arguments. And if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. God is interested in holy people, not holy places. You say, Cecil, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, dear friends, Jesus went there to Samaria for one purpose. And even as he hung on the cross, he led another man to Christ. The thief said, remember me, Lord, when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what he told him. From this day forth. Well, friends, let me ask you. You know, Jesus still calls thirsty people to himself. But I want you, can you respond to his compassionate call and never thirst again? Have you met this wonderful Jesus? You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I go to church. I read my Bible. I've been baptized. And I say the blessing at the table. Doesn't that make me a Christian? Uh-uh. No, no, no. Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was religious but lost, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, friends, listen. Have you been born again? Has your sins been washed in the blood? Do you know that you're going to heaven, or do you just hope you're going to heaven? You think you're going to heaven? The Bible said this is written that you may know that you've been passed from death unto life. You may know it, not guess, not hope. You know. Tonight, if you don't know, and you feel it tugging at your heart, would you bow your head to me right now? Let me help you in a sinner's prayer that will change your life. If you truly repent and you truly want to know Jesus, and this is how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I realize tonight, Lord, I'm lost, I'm doomed, I'm damned, and undone. And, oh God, I'm sorry for my sins. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you into me, my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, that phone number is 303-471-8534. Please give me a call. And if there's something I said tonight you don't understand, you'd like to have me explain it the best way I can, I'll do it. And if you can't afford the call, call collect. I'll pick up the tab. Would you call 303-471-8534?
Your notes are much sweeter than mine.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mole. Thank you so much for listening tonight. Please continue to pray for my wife and I. Pray for our health. Pray we'll keep going to prisons and keep winning souls to Christ until the day that God says, come on home. I really appreciate you people who pray for us. Oh, I'm a man of prayer. I believe that prayer really works. Sure does. If you have a prayer request, you'd like me to pray for you, call. There's no charge. I don't charge for my ministry. If you have a special prayer, you call 303-471-8534, and I'll certainly remember you in prayer. Okay, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.